What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter. Welcome to the Art of Online Business podcast. My name is Rick Mulready, and I'm an online business coach, Facebook and Instagram ads expert, lifestyle entrepreneur, and I'm a total coffee snob as well. Each week, you're going to learn actionable strategies, mindsets, and tips that take the guesswork out of growing and scaling a profitable online business so that you can truly become an entrepreneur with impact. This podcast is your secret weapon for fast-tracking the growth of your online business. Let's do this. All right. What's up, my friends? Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, as always. Super appreciate you. Hope all's going well, whatever you're up to right now. Hey, before we get into the episode, if you have not yet left a quick rating and review for the show and subscribed over on Apple Podcast, I would deeply appreciate that. It's a huge help to the show, allows us to reach more people and help more people optimize and scale their online business, because that's what so many people are doing right now. Love it so much. But anyway, today on the show, returning guest, Ashley Shaw, one of my favorite people. She is a former accelerator, member of my accelerator coaching program, and she's just done amazing things in her business. And she was previously on the episode back on episode 272. So if you've not yet heard that episode, it's rickmulready.com/272. And that one's titled How She Did It from 10K Months to 30K Months in 5 Months. And she's gone on now. In less than 2 years later, she's got a seven-figure business. And so I asked Ashley to come on to the show today to talk about, she voxed me a little while ago and said, thank you so much for helping me prepare my business, if you will, prepare my life, bracing for impact, as she called it. And Ashley and her husband, Bill, who were both in Accelerator, had a daughter 9 months ago, and the business was doing really well. And all of a sudden, as so many of you parents know, things changed when she had her daughter. And so we're going to talk about that here today. We're going to talk about what it meant for Ashley to brace for impact, if you will, when things change drastically in life and business, and how that affects things and what to do about it. We have just a wide-ranging conversation here today. We talk about, you know, how knowing the numbers in their business, you know, you hear me talk about this all the time, completely changed her business. She talks about started to learn how to launch, which led to her first six-figure month. We talk about hiring, what her team looks like. We talk about, you know, as far as impact goes, strategies that were once working, they all of a sudden were not working anymore. And we talk about what was not working anymore, why things shifted, etc., and then what Ashley did as a result. And then she shares her 4 words to describe motherhood and really where things are going forward. Having a seven-figure business, only working 4 hours a day in the business, and being a mom, and talking about what's most important to her. So without further ado, let's go hang out with Ashley Shaw. Ashley, welcome back to the podcast. So good to have you back on. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for having me again, Rick.
Absolutely. So this is your third time on the show. Yes. And yeah. Your original time, if I look back on our notes here, was episode 272. And the title of that episode was How She Did It from 10K Months to 30K Months in 5 Months. And you've blown that away over the past year or so. And so I want to kind of like just, when we get to it here in a minute, start there, a little background for people who have not yet heard that episode And I really want to get into what you're doing now and how things have changed for you. But for those people who have not yet listened to that episode with you, why don't you share who you are and what you do?
For sure. So my name's Ashley Shaw, and I help people authentically market themselves. And who I specifically work with is health and wellness solopreneurs. And I help take down the overwhelm of feeling like they have to sell themselves and teaching them how to do it in an authentic way through marketing templates. And so I guess at that point in time, there's a bit of a gap between where I was at that point of, you know, my goal was to reach 30,000 a month to where we've grown to now. And so we now have a 7-figure business. And yeah, that's, I guess, a little bit of an update on sort of where we're at and what we do.
Well, even how you just described that, that sounds to me like, I mean, the ultimate, the offer of the templates and so forth is the same, but why you're doing what you're doing and how you're doing it sounds different. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that, you know, to be honest, the last, I would say, I guess it's ever since my daughter came, I guess, really, I've had to get really clear on what my purpose is, because I think being a mom and being an entrepreneur, it sort of shook my foundation. Mm. You know, because I really used to believe I was my business. And so it's shifted a lot of things, like the plates have shifted in the right direction and really honing in on why I do what I do and what lights me up. So that's where that sort of evolved from.
It sounds so familiar with what I went through, obviously in a different way, but becoming a father 2.5 years ago, and things drastically shifted for me as well. And we're going to talk a lot more about that for your, in your situation. So again, for those people who have not, don't know your backstory, and we talked about in those previous episodes. So let's talk about has it been 2 years since we first met?
Yeah, it'll be 2 years.
Next month, right? In June. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So 2 years ago, when we started talking about you joining Accelerator, your big goal, as we just mentioned, was, all right, I'm at 10K a month right now. I want to get to 30K a month, because you thought that was going to be something that allowed your family more freedom. Mm-hmm. And you hit that in a matter of like five months. For those mm-hmm. people who are in a similar situation in their business, what was the big shift that you made? What were some of the things that you did to get to have that kind of, you know, sort of initial exponential growth?
I honestly would say it was hiring a coach, which was yourself. And mm-hmm. I say that because there's so much overwhelm out there with what you can focus on and what you can do. And what really clicked for me is you simplified it for me and helped make it so clear for me what I needed to accomplish. So without sounding like, you know, I'm coming from a place of like, this is like true, authentic, exactly what worked for me. It was just having that person that believed I could do it. Like, sometimes you can get in your head as an entrepreneur that like, I don't know, this is going to take a certain amount of time to get here or get to this place. And I think what became really clear in joining Accelerator was that, like, we put our own time limits on things and tell ourselves it's going to take us a certain amount of time. So the fact that I had a coach that believed in me, that like, you can do this, and these are the things you need to do to get there, I just felt like I work better when someone is helping me and guiding me so I don't get mm-hmm. overwhelmed, because I can execute if I know what to do. So that was what really worked for me, is that was simplified and I had that coach and mentor to help mm-hmm. get me across the finish line in those areas.
And you mentioned a key word there at the end as well. Like, you execute. Like, I remember telling you what to do, and like literally like 2 days later, you're like, all right, it's implemented. Now what? Right. Which I love, right? Because we can have all the best advice or strategy or mindset or whatever, but it's like, it's about implementing and taking action. I know another big shift for you, by the way, thank you for saying that. That's not why I asked you that question.
Yeah.
but another big shift for you was you and Bill, your husband, knowing your numbers mm-hmm. and really knowing your entire funnel numbers, that number one, get clarity on those numbers. And number two, having that clarity, the clarity allows you to scale, because now you know it's like, all right, these are my conversion rates. This is what it's costing me to get a lead, to acquire a customer. This is what this is the average value for the order, lifetime customer, all that other stuff. And that really allowed you to scale. What has that done, that knowledge done for you in the past 2.5 years or 2 years now?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that, because, you know, we had everything set up in Google Data Studio. Like, Bill is obviously super data driven.
The dude's a wizard in there.
He's crazy when it comes to that stuff. And I remember we called it Rick Mulready Metrics. And that was our dashboard and how we looked at everything. And so what's been interesting is that, you know, we've experienced a ton of change in the last 7 months with our business and what was working and things stopped working. And what knowing the numbers has allowed us to do at this point is look back and say, well, it's not that everything isn't working. It's actually just the front end of the funnel that's not working. We don't need to throw everything out and start over. It's like, we just need to tweak that, our Facebook ads. Yeah. So it allowed us to get really confident in where the energy needed to go versus just, you know, as an entrepreneur, it can be very overwhelming when you feel like something isn't working, especially when you have that connection to, I am my business and it's my worth is tied up in this. And so just having that ability to go back to the numbers, like, it actually really, really helped us realign this past 7 months and make some big decisions that we wouldn't have been so clear if we didn't have those numbers lined out.
Yeah. And I remember that right there, along with everything else that you're talking about, allowed you to hit that 30K a month in a really short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And then not so many months later, I believe it was in Q1 of last year, in 2020, you hit six figures a month. Right. So was it just continuing what you were doing, like, more of, okay, knowing my numbers, knowing that, you know, having the support and all that stuff, was there anything else involved in that? Did you add new products, or what was, you know, how did you get to the six figure months?
Yeah, I think it was two main things stand out to me. So the first is that we moved to a membership model and we started to learn how to launch. So I remember April was our first month that we launched, and we just kept practicing, even though it was like, oh man, from the first time we launched to what it looks like now, it's always evolving and changing. But, you know, we try not to get hung up on perfection. It's like, it doesn't matter if I threw it together the day before, like, whatever, it got done. And move on from it and just get better and better. So moving to that membership model and launching, because we were technically launching every month. We didn't ever close the membership cart. So that piece was crucial in protecting the back end of the business. But the other thing that really stands out to me would be the relationships I had in Brandy and Sarah, and of course, Bill as well, being a part of that group. Just in the mastermind, it was really nice to have people that were playing at that same level. Yeah. That it was really easy to bounce ideas off of them, because it can be lonely being an entrepreneur. Totally. You're like not sure what to do. And so just having people in the room that get it, that you can just shoot them a quick question, that was really helpful in us having confidence to move forward with what was next.
Yeah. Now, you just mentioned something there. You started to learn how to launch. Mm-hmm. I remember when you know, during your first launch, or when you started to run ads for your launch, and you were paying a lot more per lead than what you're used to. Mm-hmm. And it was that mindset shift of, you know what? Okay. It's going to cost you more now, but number one, is there a way to reduce the lead cost? And then number two, looking at it more in the long-term game, instead of short term, meaning like, okay, it's costing us this much to acquire a lead, but the average, you know, the lifetime customer value, which you guys know these numbers, is X, right? Or is Y. And it costs me this to acquire that lead, and I'm okay with that. But I remember this conversation with you guys, and rightfully so, I totally get it. There was that frustration. I'm like, well, wait, why am I doing this if we're spending this much more money on the lead cost for the webinar? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So that was, I was very bootstrappy is probably the way to explain it. Like I wanted to make sure that the front end was making money and that there was no vulnerability in us like losing money. And I think the biggest difference that came out of the change of thinking is that the more that we dialed in the numbers, the more that we understood, well, if we gain a customer, the lifetime value is $531. Like once we knew that, it was like, well, then what am I willing to pay for that person up front? Like that conversation changes it when you actually know your numbers and you know what each person will actually, the lifetime value of that person becomes.
Yeah. One other thing that we definitely have to talk about before we talk more about in the last 10 months or so is I remember a conversation with you and Bill was we want to work less, right? We don't want to be working all hours of the day. This is about creating a business around our lifestyle. And at the time, you didn't have a daughter. And so talk a little bit about that again, before you guys welcome her into the world, like, what was that like for you guys? And I know that you know, like most people, went through some challenges in getting the, you know, getting your team up to speed and all that stuff. Talk about that phase of the business.
Yeah, for sure. This is probably the, I have two examples of how it used to be. So when I was 8.5 months pregnant, I was doing a launch. And 5 weeks after I had my daughter, I was doing a launch. Like that is just how it was, like there was no real bigger strategy. It was just like, I need to be in the work. Yeah. And that is how I was always operating. And before we could really operate like that. But I think the biggest difference now is that, well, one, I don't have 8 to 10 hours to work each day. I have mom cracks, which are usually about 2 to 3 hours, which is when Bill's able to watch the baby.
I love that. And mom cracks. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it has completely shifted into definitely having to have a team that it's the right people in the right seats. And we've done a lot of work with Traction.
Yeah.
We actually hired Traction for a period of time to help us.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Get things implemented. And we're continuing to work at it and it's getting better and better, but we're trying to minimize the dinner conversation about the business, which is, you know, a really important thing, especially when you're working with somebody that you're married to that's in your business. So
work in progress. What were some of the roles that you hired for first? And then how did that evolve?
So some of the roles that we hired for first, the ones that I think the most important area of our business is our membership content, like what gets delivered every month. And that was the one thing I was just taking on a ton of that. So I tried to be strategic with looking at what were the things I was doing that could I find somebody that could help take off some of that load that really they were the right person in the right seat. So that's where I started was our deliverables in the membership. And being able to find people that were actually in the health and wellness industry that got it, that, and then I worked with them first. And that was a huge rock off my plate.
Was that content creation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to point something out here, guys. What Ashley just said is she looked at what's taking up a lot of her time or she's spending time and also what's critical to the business, meaning people are in the membership. And this is a critical piece of, all right, as long as people stay in there, the business is, you know, generating revenue. And so it's a combination of what's taking a lot of my time that can potentially, number one, get off my plate, but number two, the impact of whatever it is that is taking up my time on the overall business. I love how you combine those two things there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we did, looking back and, you know, you can, it's hard to connect the dots when you're working forwards, but when you look back, you can really see what worked. And what I really would sum it up to is I found things that were in my desire zone. I removed drudgery, I removed distraction, and I removed anything that was was not in my desire zone. And mm-hmm. I did not, you know, at that point, I'd been doing content for 2 or 3 years. Like I knew the systems in and out that I could hand it off to someone else that would give it that refresh that it really needed. So yeah. Desire zone was key.
Is that a full-time role that you brought on, or was that a part-time role?
It started off as more part-time. And mm-hmm. now I think it's about 25 hours a month okay. for that specific role. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, as you started to build out the team, you had this and the business, you had this sort of, let's call it a vision for what you thought it should be once your daughter came. Because mm-hmm. this was an amazing blessing that you guys had your daughter. And then obviously, as many people know, things shift in the business. So let's talk mm-hmm. about that transition and sort of like, we can plan as best we can, but mm-hmm. sometimes things don't always work out the way that we had hoped they would from planning perspective.
So I'm just going to be really honest and real about this. So we crossed the 7-figure line in October of last year, and all these things had happened where we had been trying for about 3 years to have our daughter, and like having a 7-figure business was like part of my wildest dreams. And it was crazy because we hit these two things, and it was like all of a sudden, everything that I had been working towards and like had my mind set on, I got there. And it was like my body was like, all of a sudden, I had almost in a way lost a bit of my purpose because I had been driving so hard towards these goals. And it took some time. Like I had to step away from the business and really realign why I was doing what I was doing. Which is, you know, I think sometimes we minimize the impact of achieving big goals and we think we should just be able to get up and go again. But I really needed a minute to just stop and really kind of figure my out.
Yeah. Because I love how you put it. You voxed me one day and said, like, this is something that you weren't quite ready for, if you will, of hitting a point in the business, being a new mom. With everything going on, and you said bracing for impact. Mm-hmm. Talk about that, because I think I love how you put that. And I think so many people can identify with this.
Yeah, I think the impact for us came on a few different levels because we had, you know, obviously the life change of becoming a mom. We had the summary, you know, and this point of like what we had put out in the universe all of a sudden had come true. But then on top of that, the strategies we had been using in the past also stopped working. So it was like this perfect storm for almost in a way not recognizing who I was as an entrepreneur anymore. You throw in mom life, you throw in, okay, what you were doing before. It's not working anymore. You've now got this sort of like badge of 7 figures. You better keep up with that. Mm. And it was like, oh, like, holy smokes. Like, I guess the universe thinks I'm ready for this. So that's what I meant by impact. It was like, yeah. we need to do some things a lot differently than we were doing before.
So what did that look like for you? Because you also said you're like, it's something that's so hard to learn. It's not something that you like read in a book or whatever it is. Like, now what? When this quote unquote bracing of this impact hits, it's like, okay, now what does one do? So what shifted for you guys? What were some of the things that you did?
So the first thing that I did, I guess, personally and for myself, because you got to start there. Like, that's mm-hmm. where I have to start. If I'm not 100%, I can't drive everyone else to be that. So I actually started by reading Free to Focus by Michael Hyatt mm-hmm. and realizing like, I don't have any hobbies. Like my hobby yeah. is business. And that yeah. just like, I got to back out from that. So yeah. I really tried to focus on what do I need to do to fulfill myself first? Cause I can't base my worth on my business. That's just, I don't want my daughter to grow up in that environment where we're always talking about work. So that was one of the first areas I started focusing on. And then when it came to my daughter, my husband and I, just during the pandemic, it's been really crazy with childcare, as I'm sure everyone can agree with. It's like just a show to try to find anyone. And so we just decided that the business can only have 4 hours of his time and 4 hours of my time a day. That's just it. Like it had end, period, stop. That's all we got. Mm-hmm. So we made that switch from trying to work all the cracks of the day to I get my time, he gets his time, and then that's it. So that just helped us be present with our daughter instead of trying to think like, I hope she naps so I can get some work done. Like that was a feeling to be thinking like that. So we had to change that up a bit. And then the other area was we had to start, in a way, not relearning marketing, but in a way, relearning how we were going to fix our funnel. And so we started really diving into the customer value journey and learning the stages of awareness and engagement and subscribe and just learning sort of funnel version two, I guess is the best way to explain it. We were a one-trick pony. We needed to learn how to up-level our funnel and think about some different ways that we could tweak that front end. So we had to skill up there.
Yeah. What was some of the things that, I have so many questions about what you just said, but just continuing on that thought right there, what were some of the things that were not working for you anymore that you're like, okay, we need to figure out how to optimize this.
Yeah. I think the first thing we started to realize is that we were spending a lot in ads, like in our, it was funny because our accountant is the one that was like, hey, you guys are continuing to spend more in ads, but you're not seeing the revenue's not increasing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and of course, when you hear that as an entrepreneur, you're like, nothing is working. Like that was first thing that went through my mind. You're like, everything is broken.
My business is going to die next week.
Yeah, exactly. So braced for impact at that point. So that was the first sign. So luckily my husband is very even keel and he's a data guy. So we had to really go back to our numbers. So we shut off our ads and we were like, okay, we got to stop. We got to slow down to speed up, as a wise coach once told me. So I knew, you know, what's funny is I knew this was coming because you had prepped me for this, like for this day, like you're going to hit some white water and you need to slow down to speed up. So we shut off all our ads and we started to try to like learn more about what we needed to do differently. And that is, I guess that was the first step that we took and we got clear on our funnel again, because we had sort of lost sight of that. Like we had sort of handed things off and then been like, okay, we're going to go raise this child and have this baby, rightfully so.
Yeah.
But then it was like, okay, we need to be the ones looking at the numbers and having that intuition about what is really going on and how do we fix it?
Sure. What were some of the things that you did to fix it? Once you've identified, I love that you said, all right, you know what? Because it's one of the hardest things to do, right? Is like slow down, you shut the ads off and say, okay, let's look at the numbers here. What's going on? Let's tell the story. Let's try to paint the picture of what's happening. So once you did that, what were some of the things that you did to, because you didn't know, obviously, like, oh, we do this, it's going to work, right? So what were some things that you started to test to see if they worked or not?
Yeah. So once I stopped gripping the stick too tight with like what I thought was going on, some of the things that we started to better understand were that our customer doesn't just meet us and want to commit to us. Like we need to slow down here and understand what the customer value journey looks like. So we looked at the stages of, you know, you got awareness and then people engage with you, then they subscribe, then they convert, then you excite them, and then you ascend them up your value ladder. Mm-hmm. So where we really started was around our conversion rates and our email automations. So, you know, what's happening there? Are people, because there's no point in filling a bunch of leads in an empty bucket. Like we have to find out, are people converting first? Because I don't want to drive a bunch of leads in there if we're just going to lose them out of a leaky bucket.
Yeah.
So that's where we really started, is looking at the email automations and finding out what percentage are converting at that stage.
How did you, and I know that Bill is the super, super data guy and loves to track everything. Is there a simplified way to explain how you were realizing, oh, somebody opts in here and then they become a customer down here?
Yeah, we just try to look at the tags that, you know, we use ActiveCampaign for our email. So if somebody gets dropped into an email series, how many of them achieve that sale at the end of that email series? Like, that was just an easy way to know, you know, we had this many sales and this many people went through the series.
Sure.
What is that conversion ratio?
Yeah. And then what is the price point of the offers that you're making?
So at the high, I guess at the highest point, or our core offer, call it, was $47 per month. So it's a monthly membership.
Sure. Which is not, not all that expensive.
No.
You're offering that. What, how are you getting people? Well, number one, are you still launching? And number two, how are you getting people to that offer?
Yes. So we are still launching, and we're doing a bit of a different launch style now, where we're launching both memberships, like our $47 per month membership and then our $97 per month membership. We do one and then we do the other right after. So we've changed that strategy up a little bit. And then the second question was,
is that the only way that you're getting people into the membership, or are you, is there something on Evergreen, or what?
Yeah. So we have, I'm just trying to think, because we've made a couple tweaks to the way that people get that. So once they get into the $47 per month membership, which is called our social posting strategy, there's an email automation where we excite them, we give them some training, and then we try to up-level them into the authentic marketing funnel, which is the next level up. So that's all happening automated. So everybody that goes through our funnel gets the offer to join the authentic marketing funnel, which is the higher level membership. So nobody goes like untouched if they get to that social posting. They're going to get up-leveled. And then when it comes to our launch, anybody that didn't join, they will get moved into that funnel with our launch, with, you know, of course, additional training. There's going to be cold leads in there as well.
Sure.
So they all would get funneled into the launch when that comes up twice a year.
Okay. So it's only open twice a year.
Yes. On the front end.
On the front end.
On the back end, the back end's always open, but the front end.
So let's talk about that for a second. So how does one get into, what's the funnel look like from, you know, the giving them the opportunity to get in on the back end?
Yeah. So what that looks like is, so we, the thing that is interesting about our funnels that we've changed is that we don't just automatically push people through. Like if they don't get our tripwire, we don't push them to the next offer. They get put back into Engage and we keep presenting them with offers. So it's just like cycling through different offers until they bite on the tripwire. Once we get them on that, you know, $7 to $27 product or $20 product, then we want them to buy something that's a little bit more expensive. So like a $20 product, like the next level up.
Sure.
So ours goes $7. Then the next product is like 20 for 20, 20 posts for 20 bucks. And then from there, if they bite on that, then we move them into the $47 per month membership. So these are all email automations that are just, they're running. And then if they hit that, then they would get the offer for the membership.
Gotcha.
At that point. So they've got to hit all those like goals along the way to get there.
So smart. I have more questions to come out of that too. So if they don't, so they opt in for something, they don't take the tripwire there.
Yeah.
So then that you cycle them back through, if you will, are you offering them a new lead magnet?
Yep.
Okay. And is this like they're on your email list because they've opted in to that first off to the first lead magnet. They didn't take the tripwire. So, you know, you're continuing to nurture them. Then you offer them, like, hey, go, I have this for you. Go. Did they have to opt in for that again?
Yeah. They would have to opt in because then I know what they're interested in.
Yep.
And how to talk to them to move them along. So it's like almost in a way, the change we've made is instead of being like, I don't know, I feel like before we were real like hustly, like, oh, we're just going to keep putting offers in front of you. We're still going to serve up value, but we're just going to keep trying to sell you, you know, lock that sales door behind you.
Yeah.
But now we're like, we're going to build the curiosity. It's more like, you know, like dating. We're not going to like talk about our children's names on our first date. We're going to slow it down and we're going to charm you first and make sure that we got the right door to go in, you know, on that offer.
On date number two, on date number two with Amy, my wife, date number two, I asked her, she gives me a hard time. I asked her what her 5-year plan was on date number two. Like I was interviewing her for a job. Here we are married.
Worked out.
So I want to point something out here to everybody listening right now. Guys, Ashley's been doing this for several years now. It's not like she had all these emails and funnels and all that stuff. Like, okay, I'm just going to sit down and create all this. She's building it up over time. So what does that look like for you? Because I know people are listening right now. I'm like, holy cow, this is amazing. But this sounds like so much work to put something like this in place. What was the process of you putting something like this in place?
Yeah, I think it all starts with one funnel. That's all that you need. Mm-hmm. And what builds out that funnel is really just getting clear on that offer and working backwards. Right? Like it's all like the best thing about numbers is that they don't lie. So they say men lie, women lie, stats don't lie. So the great thing is like, you're just like a couple percentages away from finding your working funnel. That's what I love about online business is that it really is just as simple as continuing to test until you get, you know, the right lead magnet and then the right tripwire and the right offer, in front of somebody. And then once that's working, then you can build the next step and the next step. But it's really as simple as those things. And I love, like, one thing we've also been implementing is a scorecard. So we understand the different stages of our funnel. And the goal is to get your scorecard all green before you move on to the next stage of adding that next funnel.
Talk about that. That's interesting. So this is a different kind of scorecard, if I'm understanding correctly, different kind of scorecard than, say, what Gina Wickman talks about in Traction. Is that right? Because that the scorecard in Traction talks about, you know, business KPIs, if you will. Mm-hmm. Is this different?
This is a sales and marketing scorecard.
I love it.
This is a Ryan Dice concept, and he does an amazing job of explaining this. But you have metrics from awareness, engagement, subscribe, convert, excite, ascend. Mm-hmm. And then of course you have promote, advocate and promote at the top end of your funnel. So if you can identify a couple of metrics in each of those areas, then you set some benchmarks of where you want to be. And it really helps simplify what you need to focus on because once you have those benchmarks, you're going to see what's in the red and yellow or green. And your goal is just to get everything green on that card. So it makes it kind of easy.
So you take a certain phase of the funnel, if you will, have your benchmark, and then you're taking an average of like what's happening. Is that right? That people are going through that phase and it's like, oh, we're above, at, or below the benchmark. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So let's say we take the phase of subscribe. So one of the numbers that would matter in subscribe is what's your opt-in percentage? So I would look at it, you could either look at it on a weekly or monthly basis, just depending on your traffic. So let's say your goal is to have a 40% opt-in rate, then you're going to plug in those numbers, whether you want to do it weekly or monthly. And if you're at that number that you want, then you're like, okay, cool, check mark. What else on the scorecard do I need to focus on to get to where we need to go?
It makes it super simple. Mm-hmm. So are you guys running ads again?
We're just getting into ads. We started probably about 2 weeks ago now.
Okay.
Back running ads. Yeah.
And how they've been doing with all the iOS changes and so forth.
So we're definitely, this is a good question because we had some crazy stuff happen. Like everything that, you know, you think as an entrepreneur, my Facebook page could be shut down. This could happen. All happened to us. So we're starting from scratch completely. So brand new Facebook page, brand new pixel, and we've started a bit of testing with like some different things that we've been learning about how to try out ads. And we're definitely starting to find some things that are working, but we know a whole bunch of things that don't work too, which is obviously just part of the process.
So wait, what happened with your Facebook account?
They thought that I was not Ashley Shaw. Like they thought that I was an imposter. So Seriously, we've written Cheryl, we've written Mark, and like nobody has gotten back to us. And it was like 2 or 3 months. And just like they said that something didn't comply on our page and we couldn't get anybody to respond. Even, well, they would respond, but they would say, it's just a mistake. It should be cleared up soon. And that was just continuous, like that response. Oh, so man. We had to start fresh.
Oh, so mm-hmm. frustrating.
Yeah.
Bracing for impact right here.
Yeah.
So where do things go here? And I want you to, before we start recording, you use 4 words to describe motherhood. Mm-hmm. I want you to share what those words are that you shared with me. And with using that as your context and everything you've talked about in the business today, what's next for you guys? So, okay, so four words, the way that you describe, how you describe motherhood.
Exhausting, inspiring, soul-sucking, and purpose-giving.
I think all of that describes exactly what you've been talking about here and today. And for all of you parents listening, whether regardless of how old your kids are, like you can relate to this. Something that Ashley and I were talking about beforehand. I remember when right after Maya was born, we used to bounce her on the stability ball to get her to fall asleep, which was not a good thing. But you're doing anything you can to get your baby to sleep. And somebody told me, they were like, dude, the nights are long, but the years are short. And I was like, screw you. It's 3 a.m. right now, and I'm trying to get my daughter to go to sleep. Anyway, with using those words right there in that context and everything you talked about in the shifts in the business, your daughter's now 9 months old, which I can't even believe. What's next for you guys?
Yeah, I think that the biggest lesson I've learned is I want to just do in my business what lights me up. And I don't want to take on anything else because my life is so full. I don't have room to take on anything I don't love doing. So it's been a process of becoming very, very clear and continuing to be very clear on what I love to do in my business and surrounding myself with a team of people that gets it, wants it, and has the capacity. And I can say with full confidence, we have a team of 10 people now, and they are freaking rock stars. Like, I've never felt better about our team. And Bill has been able to, he's backing out of the business so he can focus on his thing. Mm-hmm. But what's to come for us and what we're working on, I have this vision of being able to take my whole team on annual trips so we can do our goal setting together. We can scuba dive. I can treat them to spa vacations and dinners out. I just shared this with them today. So they're full aware that this is on the way. But we want to travel with our team and we want to have a really good time. And we also have our other business, which is properties and Airbnbs. So this is helping to fund those businesses and allow Bill and myself to be able to travel with our daughter.
Yeah.
And just go where, as I said to you earlier, wherever the Wi-Fi is strong so we can launch.
I love it.
So that's sort of the plan and the direction we're going to continue to go.
I love it. Before we wrap up, I do have to ask, 10 people on your team right now. I didn't know this. This is amazing. Where are they located? What, are they full-time, part-time, that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is hilarious because we had 19 at one point at the height of things, but now 19? we brought everything in-house. Like, we were just crazy. Well, when you have a baby, you're like, I'm going to outsource everything.
Yeah, right.
So that's what we did. But I have a team of VAs in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. We have two of my cousins work for us. One is full-time. One is full to part-time. So they're in California. Mm-hmm. We have a developer in the Netherlands. We have a sales and marketing guy in New Zealand. And then we have two gals in Kentucky. And where's the other one? Somewhere near Kentucky. They live really close, like on the border. What their IP address is Kentucky. But yeah, I think they're both in Kentucky.
Amazing. And what's outside of your VA team? Well, real quick, on the VA team, is it a business where there's multiple VAs to cover different things? Or do you truly have like, oh no, I have 3 Filipino VAs who are doing various things for me?
Yeah, we have three VAs that are doing various things.
Okay, like, gotcha.
We're all in the process of cross training them all. And what's like crazy about this is like, we have this one VA, Annalisa, that's been with us now for a year. She could barely speak English when we first hired her. Mm-hmm. She is a tech whiz. Like, she's been working with Bill side by side. She lost her home. Everything like flooded on her last year.
Yeah.
And like the relationships that we have with these girls and to hear the gratitude of what they're thankful for, like, man, it just like every time I hear their stories, like it just absolutely blows me away and reminds me why I do what I do. So I'm just so proud of the team we've been able to build, the people we've been able to help, and just hearing that like they love working for us. And yeah, maybe they just say that, but I tend to think like we're all right, like we're kind of fun. So I think they do genuinely like being here, and we're just so happy to have them. So
that's awesome. Last bit of advice that you would give to somebody who is in this whitewater, if you will, of their business and maybe thinking about, holy cow, how do I brace for impact in my business? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I guess there's two main things that I would take out of what we've been going through and how to get through to the other side. I think the first thing to realize is that, like, as you had always told us, like, you could do everything you've done and you could rebuild no matter what. Like, know that. Like, you are exactly where you are meant to be. And believe me, you're going to come back 10 times stronger. I promise you. Like, wherever you're at, that will happen for you because you've already done it once. Now you know all the shortcuts and things that you need to do. So, you know, believe that. And, you know, I think the mindset piece of that is just so important that we keep that sharp. Because if that goes, like, a lot of things can crumble from that. So that's really important. The second thing is they're just numbers. It just comes down to your numbers and being able to tweak those. Nothing is really broken.
Yeah.
You just need to know where to focus your energy and then go and execute on it.
Boom. I love it. Where can people connect with you? What's the best place? The people want to go through all these funnels.
Instagram is probably the best place, at the Ashley Shaw. And if you go to my link tree, you can slide down all those funnels and check it all out.
Slide down the funnels. I love it. Thank you so much for coming back on. I think you're the best and I'm so proud of what you've done, and you guys are great, seriously. And I'm really excited for what's next. And so I'll have you back on again in the future to update us where you're at, what's going on, where you guys are located as far as in that point. in during that year with where there's high speed internet. But thank you again. Super appreciate you, Ashley.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Rick.
Hey, if hearing Ashley's experience motivates you and inspires you for what's possible in your business, and you're a course creator or you're an online coach and you're looking to optimize your business towards multiple six figures, seven figures even, and you're kind of stuck, you're feeling overwhelmed, you're not really sure what next step to be taking, and you want coaching, you want support, you want accountability, you want to be surrounded by an amazing group of other online course creators and coaches, then I want to invite you to apply. It's application only for my Accelerator Coaching Program. This is one-on-one coaching, group coaching, and mastermind all wrapped into one amazing program. So if you want to learn more and apply, just go to rickmulready.com/accelerator. All right, my friend, thank you as always for tuning in today. I super appreciate you. And until the next episode here, be well, my friend, and I'll talk to you soon.